El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I've got just an itsy-bitsy piece of news to report. Now, we've been throwing information back and forth today.
And are you talking about the new show?
Well, it's not really the new show, the relaunch of the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. You have to, Phil, I talked to David about that. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, well, you see, it's all right for her, not all right for me.
Because it's all right for her, okay?
It's all right for me, bud, because I speak English. I've told you this before. I speak English, not ape.
Yeah, see, that's an insult.
Yeah, you shouldn't let us say that.
Margaret.
Well, I speak English, not ape. What's your problem?
Don't say that he speaks ape. You know, it's just that you're more conversant.
Yeah, more conversant, thank you. I don't speak ape. Now, bud, I'll give this to you. There are very few that speak ape. You do. Use your skill in ape to...
What do you want me to do? Go to the Appalachians and teach kids how to read?
Shut up.
Now, Phil, as I was saying, I think that you should be much kinder to yourself. When you roll this information out, you know that it has a way of becoming fact. So don't say anything you don't want to say.
All right, well, in keeping with what it was you just... I know where you're going with that. We had a discussion today on the relaunch of the Phil Hendry Show. As you know, the 24th is our last day here on Talk Radio Network. And it's looking now like we're going to begin the new show very, very shortly thereafter. So the idea that we might have wanted to take a week off or maybe even two as we continue to retool some things technically, that may not be the case. We may just jump right into it. Because I know that's what you would like. It is something that I'm sure our affiliates would like. It is something I'm sure that our advertisers, everybody, the only one that doesn't like it is me. And that's because I want to take the week off and go and see a chick in Florida.
Hey.
Thank you.
A chick in Florida.
Not a chick. A very, very nice, special woman. All right. So we're going to give you all that information. As I said, I had some emails going back and forth today, and we are doing a press release this week that will be within that press release will be all the information that that you require. And if you read the headline on our homepage tonight, it says Phil working on 33 hours without sleep. As you know, I suffer from insomnia, and when I say suffer from, I shouldn't say that because it's not. I do suffer, but I don't want to. It's not like I'm on a chain gang or something. You know, I have it. And
is it bad?
Yeah, it's bad. But now I'm okay. I'm on the air now, and I'll probably start babbling, and nothing's going to make sense. But when does it?
Yeah, I was going to say, what a difference is. What difference does that make?
Would you not laugh that way?
No. I've decided I'm going to laugh the way that I laugh.
Really?
Yeah, you're going against the grain now.
Why should I change the way I laugh?
I don't mind you laughing, bud. It's the way that you accentuate it.
Yes, you try to provoke with the laugh.
How?
You know full well how.
No.
You go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You, that's what you do, bud.
Yeah, because that's how I laugh.
No, that's not how you laugh. You laugh, you have a high-pitched laugh. Yes, I get that. Okay?
You have a high-pitched laugh, but then what you do is you give it, you almost put some extra rocket fuel into it.
What? What are you talking about?
Will you listen to me? You go like this, you go, hoo-hoo-hoo, and then comes the hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
That is not organic. That is something you do on purpose.
What do you mean about organic?
In other words, bud, that's not how you laugh. When you go hoo-hoo, you're trying to piss people off. Don't do it.
Well, I'm trying to be organic about it.
What do you mean about organic?
I just explained it to him. What is it with you guys?
You shouldn't have to explain this. Just go on with the show. I'm telling you, bud, if I hear you go hoo-hoo-hoo, I don't mind that. But when I hear the hoo-hoo...
Now, what are you talking about?
What?
What specifically is she talking about?
When...
I'll do it, Phil. At the end of your laugh, you go, ha-ha-ha, hoo-hoo.
Okay, so I go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yes, right there.
Yeah, what if I go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo?
I'm going to kick his...
Come on, now.
Did you see the article, by the way, Bud, about the woman that beat the man to death with a stiletto heel? Did you see that?
What? You're making that up.
No, she's not making it up. It's true. It's true. All the things that Margaret has threatened you with, now it's come to pass. Now it has actually come to fruition. Now we have an actual real thing, bud. A woman beat a guy to death with a stiletto heel.
What are you talking about? Did she stab him?
Oh, quit being a baby.
Well, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. She beat the guy to death with her high heel.
A lot of guys like that, though.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. What do you mean a lot of guys? A lot of guys are weird, and they dig the sexual idea of a woman stepping on them. Okay.
Oh, that goes without saying. That's a long-standing... Oh, everyone knows that. But what this woman did...
What do you mean everyone knows that? Have you ever done it?
That's none of your business. What this woman did is she took off the stiletto heel and did what I've only dreamed of doing, something that I... Well...
Boy, Margaret put her hands together as if she was praying.
That's exactly right, because if God answered my prayers... Well,
better not say it. She'd drive one of those stiletto heels right into your face, bud.
You're crazy.
That's exactly right.
All right, so anyway, that was the story. But let's move on, because I could care less. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show here tonight. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. The worldwide intergalactic headquarters of the Phil Henry Show is at philhenryshow.com, where we have all of our audio. Our audio is archived. Our video is archived there. We also have our news comment section. We have all of our webisodes are there, whether they are animated webisodes, whether they are the podcasts of the Milwaukee Lions, whether we have our daily classic podcast. Every single day you can log on and get a classic podcast, which we deliver unto you. And then, of course, we have our daily show podcast, which is like what we're doing right here. And then you can listen the next day. And I had a guy today saying...
The guy on the East Coast.
Yeah, there was a guy on the East Coast saying, hey, Phil... When are you guys going to get the show up? And I said, we are actually 4 hours earlier in getting the show posted every day than we used to be, but it does take a fair amount of manual effort. And here's the thing. The posting of the podcast is now 8 a.m. on the West Coast, but that's 11 a.m. on the East Coast. So it's definitely not a very early posting for our East Coast friends. The good news is that when we relaunch, that's going to change, and we're going to be able to get closer and closer and closer to airtime with the launching of our podcast. So we're just kind of filling you in on some of these things, and I hope, oh God, I hope that it all goes according to plan. Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Phil. We do have entertainment news. The CBS sitcom, The Big Bang Theory, has led comedy winners at the critics. What are you doing?
You forgot this.
Let me... Out of my face.
What are you sticking it in her face for, bud?
That's just, you know.
I know it's there. Would you enter...
All right. Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Phil. The CBS sitcom, The Boom Bang Boo.
Uh-huh.
Don't you laugh at me, you ass. You're the one...
But you're the guy sticking copy in people's faces, bud.
Again.
Okay, Margaret.
Do it again, would you mind?
Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Phil. CBS... God, I hate you.
I'll do it. CBS sitcom on a Big Bang.
Go ahead, here. I'd love him to do it.
Are you sure?
Yes, go ahead. I've got to go to the toilet. I've got to change my pantyhose. I'm sorry.
Okay. You all right?
Yes, I'm all right. What, do you want to come with me?
No, I don't. Go on. And hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Do it, bud.
Thanks a lot, Phil Henry. CBS sitcom on a Bang Theory... theory led comedy winners on a Critics' Choice television. And another thing, Breaking Bad, that was a show that was really good, and Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, man.
Game of Thrones won the top prizes for drama and everything. Mad Men and Homeland didn't get anything, and no one cares. And then a movie about a gay man, Liberace, or however you say.
Liberace.
Well, it says Liberace.
I don't care if it says Liberace. Liberace.
Well, how do you know?
Because that's the way it's pronounced.
Yeah, I split the difference. Well, yeah, if you split the difference, it's Liberace.
It's Liberace.
Liberace. And Behind the Candle Blah won the best mini something, and Michael Douglas, he just acted just like Liberace. All gay and everything, even though he's straight. And
give me that, will you? Get out of here.
Sit down, man.
Well, I did it as good as she did it.
Give me that. I'll read it. Even though he's straight. HBO film Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah, Behind the Candelabra is Liberace's hand.
Well, aren't you going to do the laugh?
Ow!
There you go. Yeah. Behind the Candelabra won Best Miniseries or Movie, because they can't decide which it was. And Michael Douglas's turn as the camp and complex Liberace won the Best Actor in a Miniseries or Movie prize. The Big Bang Theory, about a group of nerdy scientists, was an early winner on the night with co-stars Kelly Quo. Oh, all these guys, I'm very close personal friends. Well, not really. Simon Hedberg, Helberg, I mean, and...
yeah, he's still friends with him. You got his name wrong.
Helberg. Winning Best Supporting Actor Award. Way to do it, Simon. Hey, all right. The Big Bang Theory, in its sixth season, beat Lewis, New Girl, Veep, The Middle, and Parks and Recreation. Game of Thrones, a medieval fantasy war epic, and Breaking Bad, about a chemistry teacher with a fart problem.
Give me that. I got a chemistry teacher.
Give me that back.
Give me that. No, I'll do it. Got a chemistry teacher. Had a problem.
Let's take a break, okay?
Yup.
No, let's take a break. We've carved that up. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Jim Carrey's career has been, quote, kicked in the shins, according to the movie reviewer here at Yahoo. Well, I bet you that's worrying him. Anyway, Dumb and Dumber has been pulled off of the assembly line, and we'll find out why. When we come back, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I get to
the
do it.
Phil Henry
go,
Show.
Man.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
What's the problem?
Well, I've got to get Bobby Dooley into the studio. We've got to do another Bobby Dooley podcast, and we are going to do another Bobby Dooley podcast. Don't correct me, okay? I know I said Bobby Gooley, all right?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing she's going to get pissed about.
Well, if she's getting pissed at me mispronouncing her name.
Well, it is Bobby.
Yeah, I know it's Bobby. So I said Bobby Gooley. I'm sorry, Bobby. I didn't mean to say that. I said Bobby Dooley. She needs to get into the studio. We got to do another one of the Bobby Dooley podcasts that have gone over so well. I mean, they've been so, so popular, but they've got to get booked, and they've got, you know, there's all kinds of stuff to do. We got the new show that's relaunching, and I've got, you know, places that I want to go and lay on my ass and do nothing. No, I just think that after 6 years, well, almost 6 years of doing a show without really any phone calls, just making them all, just making the show up as I go for 3 hours a night, I think that that's above and beyond. I don't know if any, has there been anybody else?
Did anybody else do what?
Has there been anybody else that at least for three of those 6 years has done a radio show without any technical support whatsoever in terms of, you know, phone calls, that in other words is just monologued a talk show 3 hours a night? Anybody?
Well, I think if you talk about Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
I'm sorry, Rush Limbaugh. If you talk about, I think he does, Phil.
No, even he takes phone calls.
Well, not that many.
No, not that many, but even he takes them.
Yeah, but you said you didn't want to do no typical show.
Well, that's true, but by the same token, if you're not going to do a typical show and you're not taking phone calls, you're not going to do 3 hours a night. Well, anyway... that's why we want you guys to be listening for the upcoming relaunch of the Phil Henry Show, because it's going to be all kinds of fun, and we're going to re-implement a lot of the things that we have been missing over the years here in our radio show. Now, a couple of things we want to do here tonight. One of them is get into the legal file with our very dear, close, personal friend Harvey Wireman. It's the guy that we have not had on the show in quite some time for well, any variety of reasons. One of them is that Harvey is a busy guy, Harvey, even though you are a man who is trying to enjoy his retirement. And I know you're home with the family tonight. You are still in demand. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing good, Phil. And thank you for that very kind introduction.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I just turned 81. Just turned 81.
So when's your birthday?
January 4th.
Well, you didn't just turn 81. It was,
January. What month is this? This is,
June.
Yeah, it's June. I know it's June. I just wondered how close it was. See, there's a lot of things, you know, I'm very busy. I do pro bono work on behalf of the ACLU. I'm in and out of every kind of legal I've got people calling me on cases, you know. And then I got to do this with you, and it's not that I resent it, but there's very little time, you know, in the day to prepare. Now, I have this story here from the Cheeky.
How's it spelled?
C-H-I-C-A-G-O. Chicago. Cheeky Cago.
Chicago.
Oh, God, you're right.
Now, is this the glasses again, or...
No, it's not the glasses again, Phil. I've got glasses. The problem is that the writing these days is...
Well, you just spelled the word Chicago. I knew it was Chicago.
Yeah, you knew it was Chicago. Maybe he knew it was Chicago. She knew it was Chicago. And there might be a whole city of people in Chicago who know it's Chicago. But guess what? I didn't. So, you know, I'm looking and I'm reading and things...
Are you, if, I don't mean to be, are you, can you see things?
I can see things fine, but the problem is the glasses, we got that solved when my granddaughter, would you turn that down, please, Jerry? Whatever that garbage is you got on TV, huh? The who? Big Bang. Get a load of him, the Big Bang. I'll bet you are.
No, that's a show that was actually is very popular.
It's what's it called, the Big Bang?
Big Bang Theory.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry. Don't you watching, okay. No, the problem, Phil, with the glasses is that my granddaughter, once we got rid of those, Chucko, the clown glasses that she got over at the Clownland, I forget where she got them. We got rid of those. We threw those out. Then she went back to this Clownland or whatever it's called, Disneyland, and she got more of them. So we have been in an ongoing struggle with my granddaughter, who's only six, and she brings into this house the big clown glasses.
Well, why are these always making their way into your office?
When I ask her to get me glasses, isn't that right, honey? No, Grandpa's not yelling at you, dear. See, she's here right now, and she thinks I'm breaking her castanets. No, I'm not, baby. No, Grandpa's not breaking your castanets. Get a load of her, will you? That's my granddaughter. Hey, Marcy, why don't you take your kid out of here, will you? That's my daughter. So.
All right, do you have your glasses?
Yeah, I've got my glasses now. But again, you know, I keep needing a new prescription. In the Chicago, what did you call it?
Chicago, man, you know where that is.
Yes, I know where it is. I don't know is that what I'm reading about?
Yes.
In the Chicago Sunti. Chicago Sun-Times.
Chicago Sun-Times.
The Chicago Sun-Times, you're right, Phil, okay. Now, listen to this. Arrested 396 times. Woman knows how to work the system. This is what drives people nuts. And this is what I want to read here tonight on my legal brief.
On a sweltering day.
Yeah, on a sweltering day last summer, traffic came to a standstill on a boostling streak of Bryn Mawr.
On a bustling stretch of Bryn Mawr.
Well, what in the hell is... Why is it spelled B? There's no vowels in this word.
Bryn Mawr. I don't know. It's Irish or Scottish or something.
On a bustling stretch of Bryn Mawr Avenue in Edgewater.
Edgewater.
Edgewater. Emergency Crewa. Emergency Crewa, Sirene, Wyoming, and Chicago.
And emergency crew sirens wailed and Chicago.
Okay, yeah. Chicago Polica Officer.
Police officer.
Hey, Phil, what is it with you, huh?
You're not reading it, man. I don't know what the problem is, whether you got problems with your glasses or what it is.
All right, so I'm trying to get it right here. You got to understand something, okay? I've been working all day.
All right, but you're having trouble with words like police officer.
Just don't break my castanets, like my granddaughter says. Police officer Tom Rollo hurried to the scene.
Hurried to the scene.
The crackling voice of Rudo Radio Well, I'll never get to this story. I want to talk about this. It's a very interesting legal brief.
Well, you won't be able to get to it, man, while you're reading it like that, you know?
Like what?
Traffico Rulo and Polica Officer.
Police officer, what a tard.
All right. We'll be right back. I'll read the story and I'll get Harvey's opinion of it. How about that?
That's the way to do it instead of having that moron read it.
Will you call him a moron?
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Which one of you babbling idiots called me a moron? Because I heard it as I was going into the camp.
Phil Henry.
You're a riot.
Just remember, folks, just want to let you know, because this is the season we're living in now. If you find something that you don't like, that you think is just terrible and just a horrifying thing, you go right ahead and break the law and go ahead and spread all that stuff to every corner of the earth. It's fine, because you'll get some stupid bunch of Americans that will say, oh, my goodness, what a courageous person you are.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
You said you weren't going to do no politics.
I can't stand it. I can't keep quiet any longer. This is driving me out of my mind. I've never seen... Well, this country's engaged in stupidity. I mean, this country's had some really dumb conversations with itself, but this one breaks all records. So if you want to... If you just get it in your little head, like whoever, if you get it in your brain that something really bad's happening, you just better go ahead and break the law. Go ahead, man. I mean, it's cool. You're going to have all kinds of people loving your ass. Why? Well, because Obama's not popular. Or wait a minute, Bush wasn't popular. Or wait a minute, Clinton wasn't popular. Well, somebody's not going to be popular. Somebody's going to love your ass. God.
Who's Booz Allen?
What do you mean, Booz Allen?
Well, that's the former Booz Allen Hamilton vice president.
I guess that's the name of a company or something. Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah, you got to be informed, though.
I'm informed. Let's get Harvey Wireman back on here. What do you think, Harvey?
What do I think about what you just said?
Yeah.
Well, I think that you're barking up the wrong tree. You're not barking. I'm an attorney, so I can't advise that you break the law, but I will tell you that if you break the law, there should be legal counsel available to you after you've broken the law, even if you can't afford it. And probably perhaps a press agent or someone who a press relations person.
So in other words, not only do you break the law and you do it in a manner that is that's quite arrogant and dangerous for the possible safety of the country, which means Americans, you get yourself a press officer.
You can say all you want, but this guy Snowden, he's got a lot of people who are interested in, I don't know, he's interested in talking to him.
Yeah, he's another dumbass like that Manning that just decided, you know, they need a little bit of love from the world, so they're going to start spreading all this stuff. Who knows? I'm supposed to trust him? The people tell me don't trust the government. Okay, I won't trust the government. Now who are you asking me to trust? This guy? Forget it. You want me to trust Bradley Manning? Ain't going to happen.
Well, you know, Phil, the government.
Yeah, the government this, the government that. I'm sure the government's just terrible. Gosh, if we didn't have the government, we'd all make way better decisions. This country would be doing fantastic. I got news for you. The minute we didn't have the government, as bad as this one is, I'd get the hell out of here so fast, because it would turn into Road Warrior so fast. I don't see too many bright people on the horizon doing things better.
Well, all right, so you made your little speech, but the fact is this guy is a darling of the media, and he will remain so. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But I think that what he's done is important, and yet at the same time, I think he should be burned alive.
What does that mean, Harvey?
It means I'm hedging my bets a little bit in case. So are we going to get back to this Officer Rulo?
The story is arrested 396 times. The woman knows how to work the system. On a sweltering hot day, traffic came to a standstill on a bustling stretch of Bryn Mawr in Edgewater. This is in Chicago. Emergency crew sirens wailing. The crackling voice of Roland's radio reported a woman foaming at the mouth and lying in the middle of the street. Roland approached and instantly recognized her. She looked up at me and says, Officer Roland, I love you, recalled the now-retired cop who spent 17 years on foot patrol in Edgewater. She got up, and all of a sudden, she's okay. Roland recognized Shermaine Miles because he's seen her more times than he can count, drunk, half-naked, cursing, and on one occasion, lunging at another woman with a dinner fork. Since 1978, Chicago police alone have arrested Miles 396 times, mostly on the north side, under at least 83 different aliases. Those arrests include 92 for theft, 65 for disorderly conduct, 59 for prostitution-related crimes, and 5 for robbery or attempted robbery. So this is a lady, Harvey, that has been running afoul of the law and the police for a long, long time. And some people think that, you know, we do have three strikes, and I'm not saying that this lady should be in prison for the rest of her life, but shouldn't the sentences somehow increase? Isn't she taking away from the city and from public services vital personnel and hence wasting money?
Yeah, you know, I knew you were going to say that, and I think that's the talk radio angle to take.
No, I'm not taking a talk radio. I'm taking an angle that I thought maybe you would be conversing with.
I can converse with anything, you know. But, you know, I drove in here to my office tonight to talk to you, and I knew I was going to talk about this lady, and I knew that you would say something about it being a waste of resources. But I think,
Why? So hold on. Why did you say that?
Well, because you're doing a talk radio show, and that's what the talk that's what the talk took turning.
That's what the talk hosts.
Yeah, that's what the talk hosts are gonna do. I heard three guys on the radio say, "Isn't she terrible, taking the resources?"
Well, I didn't hear them.
All right, but I'm just telling you, you guys all think alike. See, here's what I would say about this woman. First of all, I would say that she is obviously batty as hell. So why she's not being, looked at up at a nut house someplace, I don't know, because she sounds to me like she's nuts. And arresting someone that's nuts doesn't work. And I know this because I was married for almost 50 years to a woman that I loved very much but was out of her mind. And they arrested her. My wife, Cloris, was arrested, I don't know, could have been 25 different times. For lunging at me with a salad fork,
and lunging at you—that's exactly what this lady did.
Yeah, that's right. Rang a bell when I heard that she was lunging at people. And my wife lunged at me with salad forks all the time. And
so your wife was violent toward you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she never came close. I could see that she was about to make her move, and I would make mine. And it was always that was our marriage. It was, you make your move, I'll make mine. And she didn't. That didn't sit well with her. She thought that was a challenge. She thought I'd thrown the gauntlet down. And
yeah, but your wife was crazy, man. I mean, how do you live with that?
Well, but she wasn't crazy all the time. She was crazy when she was crazy. Most of the time, she was fine. But I'd see her go for the fork, and then I'd say, "Make your move." Did you ever see that movie,
Taxi Driver?
Yeah, Phil.
Phil, you don't have to be sarcastic.
Yeah, I just noticed you're like, "Taxi Driver." Yeah, Taxi Driver.
Okay, I mean, what a... Tiki Dravi?
That's what I thought it was called. But did you ever see it?
Yeah.
Okay, remember when Robert De Niro was standing in front of the mirror and he goes, "Make your move, make a move." Well, that's my wife. That's what she was... She'd look, just, you know, I'm standing here. I'm here. I'm right here. Make your move. And
was she was violent in a very frightening way?
No, it wasn't frightening because I knew it was Cloris. I knew what she was about. I knew everything about her. I knew where she slept. I knew what she ate. You know, you got to get your enemy. You've got to know better than you. You know,
this is you're talking about your enemy. She's your wife. You're talking about her. Make your move. It sounds to me like you were living in a house, almost like that movie Hell in the Pacific. You know, with Lee Marvin and.
Yeah, Toshiro Mifune, I know that movie.
Yeah, well, there's a guy, there's an American and a Japanese guy in the same island.
Yeah, that's kind of what my marriage was like. I was being married to Cloris was like I was married to Toshiro Mifune, and I was Lee Marvin, and we were, you know, occasionally we'd say, "All right, let's sit down and break bread," and then later, just like in the movie, we'd have sex.
They didn't have sex in the movie Hell in the Pacific.
Who's that?
It's Margaret Harvey. What are you talking about?
yeah, all right, I'm sorry. I forgive me.
They did not. They did not have sex. Lee Marvin and Toshiro Mifune didn't have sex in Hell in the Pacific.
All right, well, but we did. And my marriage to my wife was, I can assure you, hell overlooking the Pacific. So the...
Where were you guys living at the time?
Well, three guesses and the first two don't count.
On the Pacific Ocean?
Bingo. Now,
I mean, what town were you living in?
What? I don't know what town it was. What do you mean, what town?
Where were you living, man? You're living on the beach.
Yes, we're living on the beach. And did the microphone go?
Oh, I just heard the microphone go up.
We were living on the beach, yes.
Living on the beach?
Yes.
And so, which one were you living on?
The beach? Which beach, you mean?
Yes, which beach?
I think it was, I'm sorry, I thought it was Cambria or something like that.
Well, that's not L.A., is it?
Well, where's that?
Harvey, Cambria is up on the Central Coast.
Well, then that's not where we were living then. We were living in L.A., in the city of Los Angeles, and there was an ocean. Now, is there anything more I can help you with?
All right, that's it. That's fine. All right, so in any event, so there you were. Now, I don't know where we are with this story.
Well, you're talking about the number of times that a woman is arrested. You said to put her in a nut bin.
Yeah, because I was talking about Cloris. Now, eventually, my wife was remanded to the custody of the county of the city of she was remanded to the custody of the city of the county of the state of
Los Angeles.
Well, Los Angeles isn't a state.
Okay, the city and the county
of California. Well, that's the state. Yeah, Los Angeles. Yeah.
Okay.
And she was remanded for 72 hours for observation, and they literally, when they do that, I don't know if you know this or not, Phil, but they look through a little square window in a door for 72 hours. They stare at you. And when I found out about that, I told the kid that was on duty in the middle of the night, I said, "You're looking at my wife?" And he said, "Yes, Mr. Wireman, I have to. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what got over me, but I hit him as hard as I could, and then I ran for my car." And
you got to be kidding me. It sounds to me like the two of you were crazy.
You hold on for a minute.
Harvey, you committed assault.
Yes, I know I committed assault. The guy's staring at my wife through a square window in a door.
That's what he's supposed to do. It's 72-hour observation.
Yeah, while she's taking a you-know-what? Is that what he's supposed to be staring there and just licking his lips while she's squatting over a bowl? God! So that made me, and I came in and I said, who did it? And they're all looking at each other. I could tell they didn't want to, and they finally pointed to some scrawny punk, and I walked over to him, and I'm telling you, as hard as I could, I nailed him right on the chin. He went down like a sack of crap. I turned and sprinted directly I was driving a Studebaker at the time, and I left it running in the lot. I sprinted and I dove in, and I remember I kept saying, "Go, go, go, go," and there wasn't anybody other than me.
What an idiot. Are you kidding me?
Who said that?
Me, Bud Dickman.
You're the idiot.
Well, wait a minute. You ran for your car and dove in.
Yeah, and I said, "Go, go, go."
And there was nobody. You came alone.
Yes, then I realized I'd come alone. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because I got into the driver's side of that car and floored it, even though I was staring down at my shoes. I wasn't even I floored it. And I got out of the lot. I got onto the street. I did this big, broody, screeching, burning rubber deal, and I got out, and I didn't hit a thing. But I can tell you, that was a frightening, frightening moment.
Well, I will say that you sound like you're mentally ill. Your wife, God rest her soul, was mentally ill.
No, I'm not mentally ill now. I was when I lived with her.
Well, you know.
No, not well, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, because the stuff you're describing here, hitting a guy, I mean, all kinds of weird stuff, getting crazy about some guy, the square window in the door, I don't know.
Well, I'm just telling you, I've got experience with these nuts, and you don't arrest a woman 396 times. You put her into a nut hatch, observe her, make sure you don't get some punk kid that wants to watch her go into the bathroom, because that's, I'll kill you, And then you decide what you want to do with her.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks a lot, Harvey.
Oh, I get it. So you think...
He's slowly losing it. I don't know how much longer you want to have him on the show.
I worry about him, I got to tell you. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't know.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Get Dr. Sadler, will you? Oh, man, every time you talk to Dr. Sadler...
We'll be right back.
sorry. Oh, hi. Welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Harvey Wireman on the line with us. Oh, no, we've gotten rid of her. Excuse me. I was just reading some mail. I apologize. I've got a new email address, and I want to give you my email address so that if you want to talk to me by way of email, you can email me. But I suddenly forgot what it is.
Ain't it Phil or something?
Well, it's Phil. I think it's Phil at philhenryshow.com, right?
Yeah, I think it is, Mr. Henry. I can send an email to it and then find out if I do get it, then I will send myself an email.
You're going to do what?
No, Robert. Send an email to philhenryshow.com from your own account.
Yeah.
Then log on to your account to see if it came back to you, right?
No, that's not right at all. You want to know if the account works. You got to have somebody at philhenryshow.com where the account is receiving mail. You send it an email, and then the guy that's there...
What?
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
I'll do it. You need to have...
No. Look, everybody is getting... You're flipping me out here, okay? You got to have... What is it, bud?
I got Dr. Sadler on the line. He says he's got a limited amount of time because he's got a patient that looks like he's going to run into traffic, so...
Oh, well, isn't that nice? Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil. A patient that's going to run into traffic. That's fantastic. Dr. Sadler, we had Harvey Wyman on the line here, and he was talking about punching out some guy. His wife was nuts.
Yeah.
And we were talking about some woman that had been arrested 396 times.
Right. So what do you...
Well, what do you want him to do?
I'm sorry, Doc. To get Harvey back?
Hey, Harvey, are you there? Are you there, though? I mean, okay, so you're there. I know I'm talking to you, but are you there?
He's there, bud. You're talking to him.
Yes, how many times I got to tell you, Jesus?
All right, we're on the air, Harvey.
What's that?
We're on the air, and we got Dr. Jim Sadler.
Oh, not that guy. Yeah, that guy. And I'll tell you something, Harvey. I was called out of the meeting. You were called out of a meeting. Well, can someone call you back into it? Because, Sadler, look, I don't bear you any malice. I don't bear any grudge. But, Sadler, your name comes to me. I know that we've had our run-ins, Harvey, but Phil says to me that you've been guilty of assault. Is that correct?
Yeah, when I was married to my years ago, when they brought Cloris in, And they had her sitting on a toilet taking pictures of her.
No. You know that isn't true. That's not what happened. The young man that was observing her, because I know the case very well, Phil.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the case.
He's familiar with the case, Phil. He's got all the case files. I'll bet you break those out late at night, look at them, and get all you.
You know what? If I was sitting next to you, even though you're much older than me, oh, man, what I wouldn't give.
What's that?
What I wouldn't give.
Yeah, I'll bet you'd give a lot. And it wouldn't have anything to do with throwing a punch either. Listen, I'm an ex-Marine. You understand what that is, don't you?
Yeah, I understand that a lot of you guys that were in the military service identify with it.
No, I wasn't just in military service, Sadler. I was in the United States Marine Corps.
So?
Don't give me a reason, Sadler. Don't give me a reason to demonstrate why a Marine... and his rifle are the most dangerous weapon on Earth.
What did you want me to do, Phil?
All right, well, just stop already, Harvey. I want to ask Dr. Sadler why these violent spells that you had when you were married to your wife, the fact that she was saying things to you like, make your move, did that have anything to do with, has it lent to you having a more confused later life? I mean, you have an inability to read things. I'm just wondering if that had any impact.
Phil, first of all...
Wait. Well, don't talk about me like I'm not here. I can tell you that it had no impact at all. I got along very well with my wife, except for those times when she started to get on my nerves, and then it was her against me. We went eyeball to eyeball, no question. And Cloris would look at me, and she'd say the very words that Robert Bonanno said.
You talk about Robert De Niro?
What did I just hear? It sounded like the wind going through some weeds.
That is me, sir. This is Jim Sadler. I'd say, are you talking about Robert De Niro?
Robert who?
Robert De Niro. You said Robert Bonanno.
Robert Bonanno might be a member of the Bonanno family. Joe Bananas.
Don't talk about Joe Bananas. I knew Joe Bananas. And you weren't any Joe Bananas, I'll tell you that.
I don't want to be. I'm talking about Rob. Go to hell.
Get a load of the... Did he hang up?
Yeah, he did.
What a baby. I'll tell you something, Sadler, if you're listening, what a fairy. That's exactly what you sounded like. Go to hell.
You were baiting him, Harvey, and it wasn't fair because he had a very limited amount of time. He's got a patient that he said was going to run into traffic.
Well, I hope you follow him into traffic, Sadler. If you're out there, Sadler, I hope you follow the patient that's going to go into traffic. Make sure you run after him and catch him there in traffic. God almighty, that took a pair on him to hang up on me. Yeah, go to hell. You know, Phil, the...
877-876-PHIL. That's it. Thank you very much, Harvey. We're done. Next hour, new topic, new everything, man. New me.
It's a brand new me and a brand new... Do you remember that song by Dusty Springfield?
No, I do not. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
It's a brand new me. I got a brand new friend.
Shut up!
Don't ever tell me to shut up and think that you're going to make it to bedtime.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch on this here show, and that means wherever it is, we'll go to get it. Although some days we don't even care about that, you know.
What do you mean you don't care about truth?
We care about truth, but we're not about to break our necks for it. I think that's the slogan that I most admire for our show, not for other shows.
We care about truth, but we're not going to break our necks for it. Oh, my God.
Well, Margaret, you know, we can't all be the paragons of truth-seeking that so many guys that do talk shows claim that they are. So, hey.
By the way, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me, all right?
Okay.
Is that a man or a woman?
It's a woman.
You're a liar. I know it's a woman, but you're lying.
Why?
Because that looks like a man, and you know it.
That lady, I watched her interviewed last night. She's a woman, and she may look masculine. She's a woman.
Yeah, but you think she likes other ladies?
No, she's talking about her husband that was killed. She's a woman, she was straight, and she was married to a guy. What a terrible thing for you to say, Margaret.
Would you watch it with my lyrics?
I'm sorry, but... Why would you say something like that?
I wanted to know if that looked... Because I asked Fred. Everybody I ask says it's a man, as sure as God made green apples... That's exactly what I said. You're the first one to say woman, but now I found out that you'd watch the show, so I feel better about it. Oh, my God. Can I get some water, please?
You might want to take a breath when you're talking.
Yeah, but I want to stop and clear your mouth out when you're talking.
Ow!
I'll kill it.
All right, hold on. We have this song. You want to sing Brand New Me? Is that it?
Yes, I want to sing Brand New Me. Is that it? Why are you giving a look like that?
Because this is a song that... This isn't the Alicia Keys song.
No, it is not the Alicia Keys song. This is for a different generation. And for the young people listening, I think you'll enjoy this. This is the Dusty Springfield Brand New Me. And the way it went, Phil, is you just got to get loose. Can I get some room, please, Robert?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Would you move? Just what you do is, and I'm doing, you see what I'm doing, Phil, is almost like a, ooh, yeah. I'm swinging my hips. This is the same old coat and the same old shoes. See what I mean? And I'm getting loose and I'm snapping my fingers.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to do that in front of people because they probably put you in for a 70-hour commitment.
Are you serious? Are you really trying to push it tonight with me, aren't you?
What do you mean by that, bud?
Well, the way she was acting was like almost like they put a 70-hour hold on her.
Yeah, it looked like a 70-hour hold.
It's not called a 70-hour hold. It's a 72-hour observation.
Is that what these two knuckleheads are trying to say? Let me tell you what. Both of you guys, okay?
Now, hold on, Mark. It's a 70... I just want them to... A 72-hour evaluation, not a 70-hour hold or whatever.
Don't say it's 70-hour hold.
I just want to let these two idiots know something. The day the two of you are able to get me into a padded cell, is the, well, I guess that's the day you get lucky because it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not looking to have sex.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
All right, take it easy. So here's now, Margaret. Now, what is this?
Well, this is an Eastern European interpretation. Gregor Swanson's with me. Gregor is originally from Mohawk Valley, Phil, you know, Utica, New York. And there's a lot of Gregor, there's a lot of Polish people there, right?
Oh, there's a few Polish people, right.
All right, and he's going to play the squeeze box. What's so funny about that, bud?
Yeah, what is funny about that?
Said squeeze.
So?
Well, you've got to pardon the expression.
There's nothing to pardon. He's going to play the squeeze box, and there's going to be a decidedly Eastern European flair to the same old me as done by me, Margaret Gray. This is the same old me. The same old me. If the same old blues, then you touched my life. Just by holding my hand. All right, go ahead, Gregor. Ah, the same old me. What are you doing?
Then I have to here we go. I get it now.
Go ahead.
I love you. It's the same old me. The same old shoes. The same old blouse. The same old sweater. What are you doing?
I've got the tune. It's the wrong tune, yeah. Yay! Hey! Yeah, that's good. That's good. La, la. La, la. Okay, I'm sorry.
What are you butchering it alive?
Yeah, Gregor. Hi, Phil Henry. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Mr. Yeah, great.
You want to play the melody, or...
Yeah, I got to play the melody, but I don't know, man. Somebody's been fooling with the squeeze box, you know?
Yeah, I'll bet they have.
Hey.
Take it easy, bud. Do you know anything about squeeze boxes?
Smile when you say that.
Do you know anything about squeeze boxes?
No!
Probably not. I'll do it.
Yes, I want to do this. All right, here we go. One, two...
Whoa. Let me see. Okay, go.
One, two, and a one, two... It's the same old me. I've got the same old shoes. I've got the same old t-shirt, too. And the same old girdle, too. Yes, I do. Yes, what did you do now?
Yay. Go.
I love the... What? Oh, you lousy Polak.
Hey.
I'm sorry. For those... Shut up, will you, Gregor, please? Shut up.
I know.
I apologize to our Polish-American listeners. I really do, Phil. I'm sorry.
That was uncalled for.
Would she call me Polak?
Yes, I did. In your case, it works.
I don't know. I consider that to be I'm proud of that for Margaret to call me Polak. Every time she does, I know that I'm playing the accordion the right way.
All right, well, there's something screwy with the way you guys are doing this.
No, there is not anything screwy. Gregor, do the honors. The same old me, oh, and the same old you, and everything's just the same.
God, when's this song going to move into a different phase?
And, hold on.
What are you doing?
Are you tuning it again?
Yeah, I've got the la da di di.
Okay, go.
It was deep in the forest one night. I was overcome by a very handsome man who threw me on a bed of pine needles. Oh, you... I can't... These slabs. Would you stop it, you slav, you slob?
Hey, so you come in from Dirty Dozen.
That's right, you lousy...
All right, watch it with the slav, okay?
You slav, you slob. I'm quoting John Cassavetes.
Yeah, but it's still very insulting.
Hey, don't John Cassavetes.
That's what John Cassavetes says to Charles Bronson in The Dirty Dozen.
Never mind, man. Some of the cultural touchstones... Thank you very much, Gregor. Appreciate it. Some of the cultural touchstones in the show are really... I mean, we're lagging here, man, you know?
Yeah, well, you gotta get out of the house and do something.
I don't want to get out of the house and do anything. I get out of the house and do things. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I'm the one that brought up Dirty Dozen.
Yes, you are, so don't blame me. Although that was the line that John Cassavetes spoke. You slav, you slob. All right.
No, you said you slav, you slob.
Yes, it's you slav, you slob.
Not you slav, you slob. He says you slav, you slob. It's when Cassavetes is breaking out.
Yeah, now you're going to do a whole rap on it. We gotta be talking something more about how, like, Inglourious Basterds or something.
Yeah, talk about Inglourious Basterds, will you?
Well, was there a slob or a sub?
How about when they beat that guy with a baseball bat? I mean, you know. In any event, thank you very much, Gregor. Appreciate it.
Yeah, whatever, man. I dissed that lady. I don't know.
All right, all right. So we wasted about 15 minutes on that garbage.
Garbage? Did you call that what I think I heard you say?
Yeah, I called it garbage.
Did you say what I think?
Yeah, he said it's garbage.
So you said what I thought you said.
Yes, what is it?
I was just making sure.
What, are you writing a book or something?
Maybe I am. What's it to you?
Take it easy, will you? All right, so thanks very much for that, as Margaret was singing Brand New Me. Whatever, man, you know? Okay, onward and upward. We got other entertainment news, and we come back. Jim Carrey, apparently the studio there that was going to make the film Dumb and Dumber 2, as in T-O, they've said, forget it, we're pulling the plug, it blows on wheels, we can't use it, we don't need it, can't want it, don't need it, don't want it, wouldn't go near it, and et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about that when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
it's
is our
the same
bitch.
Old you, the same
Phil
old
Henry
me,
Show.
The same old her, and the same old he. See how I made that rhyme?
Yeah, so what? Nobody wants to listen to it.
Doug Danger's going to join us because we want to talk about Jim Carrey here and Jim Carrey's recent efforts at getting back in the saddle.
Now, you're very forgiving of Jim Carrey. You're not jumping all over him like most of us would. I don't understand that. I mean, I know that you think that I'm being sadistic.
Well, why would you want to jump all over Jim Carrey?
Well,
you talk about sexuality.
Yeah, I was, but until I looked at you, when it comes out of your nose and your mouth at the same time.
All right, bud, wipe your nose.
I can't take that. No, I think Jim Carrey has made an awful lot of money, and I think he's very deserving of having it handed to him. So that's why I don't get you and all of this touchy-feely.
I'm not doing touchy-feely. I said earlier, and I will repeat it, and I said it off the air, I'll say it on the air, and I'm not Jim Carrey, not by any stretch of the imagination am I Jim Carrey, but I'm just saying, it seems to me like his career, I recognize the career that he's had, because in a smaller version of that, I've had to do that. I mean, I saw him, he starts out really strong, knows what he's doing, then he decides that he wants to change it up, do something different. And in so doing that, he kind of loses, you know, you lose your way a little bit.
That would you say happened to you?
Well, but if I'm saying that his career reminds me a little bit of mine, then yeah, that's what I'm saying, okay?
Yeah, that's what it says.
All right. So you're saying that you lost your way.
Well, you just let me say this. So, yeah, there's a part of him that I feel I understand. I applaud any guy that wants to say, look, I've done that and I want to try something else. But if you try something else, the audience is going to go, what are you doing? They're going to hate you for it. I can guarantee you that. They hate you. They don't want you to do anything other than the thing that they saw you do. Then as you're doing that thing that they saw you do, if you're not doing it right up to the speed of what it used to be, now they're pissed off at that. So at the end of the day, you cannot listen to the audience at all. You gotta do what's in your heart and hope for the best. Doug Danger is on the line from the Orange County Courier tonight. And Doug, you know, we're talking about Jim Carrey, a brilliant guy.
Jim Carrey, Phil, has been brilliant for a lot of different ways, a lot of different reasons. You mentioned Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. You also mentioned the Liar Liar. Me, myself, Irene, Cable Guy, some of the things that he did, Dumb and Dumber. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've enjoyed Jim Carrey's movies as a gay man. I'll tell you what I picked, and I picked this right out of you-know-where, as a gay man and as a gay journalist. I was reviewing one of his films for the Miami Herald at the time, and it was a little movie that nobody had ever heard of called Ace Ventura Pet, what was it called?
Pet Detective?
No. This is a different one. This is a Jim Carrey movie, Ace Ventura.
Yes, it's called Pet Detective.
Pet Detective? I don't know.
Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
No, it's not Ace. It was Ace Ventura Pet, Groomer or something like that. And I said to Jim, because they were in Miami shooting that, you know.
Yeah. Are you telling me there was another Ace Ventura movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one they originally shot was Ace Ventura Pet I don't know if he was pet comber or something like that. And I said, you want a little bit of friendly advice, Mr. Carey? I said, I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. He said, yeah. I said, give it up, man. Give it up and either go back to L.A. or bring it. Because this was back when I was at the Miami Herald. I said, you have got to be kidding with this. I said, this is not so much a movie as it's something that someone looked at and said, you better get a mop for that. It's in the corner of the room. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. You're telling me a lot of stuff about a movie.
Yeah, this is the movie. It was called Ace Ventura Pet Something. I don't know the name of it.
Well, Doug, how are we to react to that if you don't know the name of it?
I can't remember. That's how unmemorable it was as a gay man and as a gay journalist.
As a gay man and a gay... All right, we're talking to Doug Danger here.
Well, don't start acting befuddled like I'm the guy that's confusing you. I'm telling you.
You are confusing me if you're telling me there was an Ace Ventura movie before Pet Detective that was called Ace Ventura Pet Something.
Yes, I don't remember the name of it, but it was being shot in Miami. I said to Carrie, and they said, who are you? And, oh, you should have seen him on the set. They said, who are you? I said, I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist of the Miami Herald. And they're trying to keep me. I said, hey, you know, don't ever put your hands on me. In many ways, I'm like that guy you have on your program from time to time, Phil, that Lloyd Bonafide. I said, don't ever put your hands on me. I said, to quote Lloyd Bonafide, your monkey puts his hands on me, you pull back two bloody stumps. Only I laugh when I say it, because I'm not going to do that. But you don't want to put your hands on me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So I said to him, you know, and Mr. Carey saw that. Jim Carey saw it. He said, well, you know what? This guy looks like he's formal. Somebody got to deal with. So go ahead. He waved me over, and he was sitting in a chaise, kind of a chaise lounge chair, and he was having, looked like macaroni and cheese. I forget. And we sat down. I said, Mr. Carey, how you doing? I said, can you stand some honesty? And I could tell you, I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Can you stand some honesty? And he said, isn't that the honesty that you just wanted to give me? I said, no. I said, I got more honesty. I said, can you take it? I said, are you man enough? And so at that, he put down his plate. It was a paper plate with some of that mac and cheese on it. He took a drag on I believe it was a Marlboro, and he put it down, and he said, okay, shoot. I said, this thing you're making right now, you would be better if you would just take a nap. Just nap the rest of the day. It would make more money if you just took a nap. And he said, what are you driving at? And I said, well, I'll tell you. And then I went on to tell him, try something different like Pet Detective instead of this pet.
Oh, I see. So it was your idea.
Doug, no one's going to buy that.
Oh, okay. So no one's going to buy it.
You're telling me that it was your idea to do Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
All I'm saying, if you listen to what I'm saying, I went in, I said, I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. I said, can you stand some honesty, Mr. Carey? And he said, what, is it my breath? Ha ha. And I said, man, no. And he put down the mac and cheese. I said, this movie you're making right now is a frightening, frightening thing, man. It's only going to get scarier as the day gets later. And I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And he started in with that whole, what's that got to do with anything?
Well, Doug, you really hit that one hard a lot of times. All right, so Jim Carrey, right now...
Whoa, there's sunshine. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. I don't believe it entirely. I understand that you had a conversation with Mr. Carrey. I don't think you're the guy that gave him the idea to do Pet Detective, but I'm sure that you had a conversation. You know, I just don't know.
There you go. There's the key phrase. I just don't know. You call me a liar. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. The one thing you never call a gay man and a gay journalist is a liar, because you know... But I've been gay too long, man. I've been gay way too long to lie. And
well, Doug, that doesn't mean anything that you've been gay. We understand that as a gay man and as a gay journalist, you are more prone to be honest because you've gone through so much of the BS, as you like to call it. Okay?
Right, yeah, but Margaret, see, I've been gay for, you know, I've been out for only about 6 months, but I've been gay since the beginning, okay, almost 40 years. And I've been gay. You remember that song by Otis Redding? I've been loving you too long to stop now.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna write another song. I've been gay too long to stop now. Okay, because that's my orientation. I've been gay too long. Stop now. You know that. So that's what I would do. But I can tell you.
All right. Let me take a phone call here. Our number is 877-876 Phil 877-876-7445. We've got some phone calls because there's a few people that want to take exception to this. I think there's a couple of people have heard of this movie. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
How you doing, Mr. Danger?
I'm doing good. Yes, sir. You're a gay man, a gay journalist. I've heard you say that a great many times on the program, but I will tell you this. I saw the Ace Ventura Pet Detective movie, and I followed the press on that very, very carefully because I was excited to see it come out. I've been following Jim Carrey very, very deeply, and I've now you say you're gay and you're gay man and gay journalist. Let me just say something to you. I'm a straight man and a straight truck driver.
Yeah, so what?
Hold on. What do you want? Say that again?
I said, so what?
So what? What?
So you're a gay. So you're a straight man and a straight truck driver. That's not unique. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That is unique. And to say that is unique.
Well, yeah, it may be unique, but you keep hitting that, and it's bothering me, and it's bugging me, and I want to stick to the point here, which is the Jim Carrey pet groomer or whatever you said. Now, I followed the press on this, Phil.
Okay, did you ever hear of a movie that was coming out before Pet Detective?
Yes, I did. It was Ace Ventura, just as Mr. Danger said, Pet Comber or Pet Groomer, Monkey Comber, something like that. Okay?
All right, now I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I told him that it blew.
And I'm telling you, I'm a straight truck driver, and I knew it would blew. I knew it would blew. Okay?
You knew it would blew. You see how your grammar's all jacked up? There's no way you're going to get... No way you get an audience with Jim Carrey talking like you got half your brain missing.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, hold on. Did you talk to Mr. Carrey, Austin?
No, sir. I did not talk to him. But if I had been able to talk to him, I would have told him that your movie blues. I don't know.
Right, hold on, gentlemen. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This guy's in it. You want me to keep talking to this guy?
Yes.
Oh, come on, baby.
I'm a straight man and a straight truck driver. How do you feel about that?
I don't care, man.
Well, I don't care. You're gay.
I don't care if you care whether I'm gay or not.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Back here with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier as we continue talking about the Jim Carrey film Dumb and Dumber 2, which has been, let me just read from, and by the way, we're online at philhendryshow.com, and we're very happy to be with you guys here this evening. Dumb and Dumber has been kicked to the curb, making for the latest blow to Jim Carrey's career. I think this is very, a lot of editorializing here, Doug.
Yeah, they love to. There's no question about it. I think you got it right there, Phil. That especially Yahoo, or not Yahoo. I call them Yahoo News because that's what they are. They are Yahoo when they get up in the morning, a Yahoo at noon, and a Yahoo when they go to bed at night. And they're going to be Yahoo when they drop dead because they are Yahoo, man. I mean, it's just one farm fresh guy after the next. And you walk into that newsroom, there's no question about it. Jim Carrey, though, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, here's the point that I was trying to make. Jim Carrey, when he was making that pet, the name of it, and I said to him, you really got to change direction, otherwise that film is going to be a dead thing. It will rot and stink, and the stink is going to cling to you for the rest of your life, man. And he said, what are you talking? I said, man, the stink is going to cling to you for the rest of your life. That's when a security guy grabbed me and started pushing me out of there. I said, man, you don't know who you're dealing with. I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist. I grabbed the security guy, and they had to separate us, basically. But my whole point, though, Phil, is that I felt very strongly about that, and that's how my career took off, and that's how Jim Carrey got a movie.
What? Say that again?
What did you just raced right through that.
I said that's when my career took off, and that's how Jim Carrey got a good movie.
All right, let's go to another phone call here, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. It's Bob Green calling from Buena Park tonight. Bob Green, who is with the Fraser Foods. Bob, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing great. I want to talk to your guest here, this guy, Danger. Mr. Danger, I live and work in Orange County, California. I'm in Buena Park.
Yep.
And, you know, I want to tell you something, Danger. You know, there's an awful lot.
Let's call me Doug.
No, I'd like to call you Danger because I'm not really a big fan of yours. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're gay or straight.
Well, a lot of people say that. They wind up being very proud. I find most people say that they're not gay or straight. They don't care about being gay or straight.
I didn't say that I was gay or straight. I said I don't care whether you're gay or straight.
I find that most people who say that are very prejudiced.
Well, I don't care because I'm not prejudiced. I'm simply saying you've said that you're gay about 100 times, and I'm here to tell you that I know the original name of that film, and it was going to be a hit had Mr. Carey not been talked out of it. I did craft services on the Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Oh, you're the guy that you, were you the guy that made the, because did you make the scrambled eggs?
Yes, sir. I made scrambled eggs for the cast and crew every morning, and they loved it.
Well, that's not what I heard, but nonetheless.
You know something? You can malign my work all you want. I've been in food services all of my life, and I did do the craft services, and Mr. Carey particularly liked it very much.
He's a very polite man.
And what does that mean?
It means he's a very polite man.
I can tell you that Mr. Carey liked my scrambled eggs.
Well, unless scrambled eggs is a euphemism for giving a guy a you-know-what.
You know, you're a real smartass, aren't you?
Okay, watch it.
He's a real smartass. Let me tell you something. The original name of that movie was Ace Ventura, Pet Embalmer.
Yeah, that's it, exactly, Pet Embalmer. He was going to be a pet mortician.
Yeah, and you know something? That movie would have been a hit because that script was written by a young man by the name of Richard Green, my brother. And he had brought it to Mr. Carey, and he brought it to the director, and they loved it. And then somebody, and now I'm figuring it was you, told him to drop it and let it rot in the dirt. And that's what they did, and it cost my brother a big payday.
I got to tell you, the Ace Ventura Pet Detective did way better than Ace Ventura Pet Mortician.
No, it was Pet Embalmer. And, no, you don't know that.
Well,
Hey, let me ask you something, Bob. So your brother wrote Ace Ventura Pet Embalmer.
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Okay, and when he wrote this, that's what they were going to shoot.
Yeah, they were going to shoot that, and as I said, I was doing craft services on the original, and then they changed it over to Ace Ventura Pet Detective. They escorted my brother off of the location. I mean, not only did they escort him to his car, but they followed him to the county line of Dade County.
I mean, that must have been one rotten script.
Excuse me?
Well, what? They escorted him off the shoot, and they followed him to the county line.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that must have been a rotten, stinking, lousy script.
No, it was a good script, but again, it appears, Mr. Dangler, you had Mr. Carey's ear, and you being a gay man and a gay journalist, I bet you had more than that. Thank you very much.
Oh, man, that was a little rude. Doug Danger's with us. That was Bob Green.
Well, it just goes to show you, Phil. I mean, I've dealt with these cheap punks my whole life. I've dealt with these lousy cheap punk grocers and these dirty little punks in their checkout stands. And I can tell you,
well, what do you mean they're dirty little punks in their check? That Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods.
I don't care what you might as well tell me that he is some greasy punk that's stealing apples and oranges off of some fruit cart in Little Italy and running home to his Mamma Mia.
Are you all right?
Not really, no, I'm not. I feel maligned. I feel as if I've been touched and in many different ways. But I'm just going to wrap it up by saying this, Phil. Yeah, it was Ace Ventura Pet Embalmer. It was probably going to be a stiff. I did say to Jim Carrey, cut your losses, get into this new script, Ace Ventura Pet Detective. I didn't write it. I'm so sorry that Mr. Green's brother lost out on the contract. Green, if you're listening, and I know you are, you did pretty good because you did the craft services on both movies, so what are you bitching about?
That's a very good point there.
Well, I mean,
No, not well, anything. That guy was, he did craft services, and I'll say it again, the scrambled eggs you dished up every morning, Mr. Green, they tasted as if you sifted them.
What are you laughing about?
I'm not laughing, man. I'm remembering. I'm remembering, and I'm weeping. I'm remembering, and I'm weeping. The scrambled eggs that you served up every morning, Mr. Green.
Well, hold on for a minute. Is he back?
Well, wait, don't I get to say what I want to say?
Well, what is it?
Yeah, it's line two.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, and I'll interrupt you. The scrambled eggs I served up every morning were delicious.
The scrambled eggs you served up every morning tasted like you filtered them through your underwear. Thank you and good night.
Yeah. Am I still on?
Yes, sir.
That guy is a dirty, filthy liar. And I served up scrambled eggs that were complained about only once. It was a producer, one of the big shots from Hollywood. He said it tasted like somebody had sat in them. That was his line. Everybody else loved them.
All right, well.
Yeah, and I can tell you're laughing, too. Trump did.
Why are you laughing at this? This sounds like a very serious career crisis.
Oh, get out of career crisis. I mean, Jim Carrey, I feel bad for. Those two knuckleheads from Bob Green and the scrambled eggs that he served. Although I got to give Green this much. He had a lot of background on that first movie, Ace Ventura Pet Embalmer. And I got to tell you.
What are you laughing about? It's about a little animal.
I know, bud. But I got to tell you, if Danger came on that set and talked them out of shooting that movie, he did him a favor. I don't know how great a movie Pet Embalmer was going to be. And I don't give a damn if his brother was the writer on that thing. Then he turns around and he did craft services on the beginning of that movie, which I guess, did it sound to you like they suspended it?
Well, yeah, it sounds like they shut down production on the original, and then they went right back into production on the new script, Ace Ventura Pet Detective. But Ace Ventura Pet Embalmer, according to Bob Green, was going to be a good movie, and according to, of course, Doug Dangard, wasn't.
Yeah, I'd take Doug Dangard word on it any day of the week on account of he's a movie critic.
Yeah, I go with that. Yeah, well, I'd have to say that Doug probably knows it, but...
Well, why do you say Doug knows what?
Doug by cocaine?
Doug knows his business.
Well, you didn't say that.
Well, I'm not talking about his nose, okay? And what I'm saying is I would go with his opinion before I went with Robert Greene, who I'm sure he's a great grocer. His brother wrote the script of Ace Ventura Pet Embalmer, so he's got to have a divided allegiance there. Why do you suppose they walked his brother off the set and to the county line?
I don't know. Generally, in Hollywood, Phil, when you stiff a script the way this Richard Greene allegedly did, you are treated as if you're bad news. In other words, if you stiff one the way he did, it's like you're a jinx. It's like you're a bad luck charm.
Yeah, it's all like a black cat or something.
Yes, it's like walking under a ladder. And they don't want you around the set. They don't want you any... So I think what happened was that he stiffed the script. Jim Carrey probably wiped with it or gave whatever high sign you give.
What do you mean wiped with it?
Well, they give a high. Any actor who is in charge, who has the overall last say, is going to give some kind of a signal that is not verbal, but a visual signal. My understanding was he took a page and pretended as if he was wiping.
Boy, what class.
Phil, it's not my...
What class?
In any event, I'm sure they wanted him the hell off the set and out of their lives in case he jinxed it, in case he was bad news.
Yeah, in case he gave him the evil eye.
He's not going to give them the evil eye. That's not what he's going to do to his own movie.
All right, well, it's superstition is the word I'm looking for.
You're going on 34 hours now without sleep, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, don't worry about it, I'm fine. So, yes, that's a very superstitious way of being. And in the end, though, they shot a good movie. But in the end, we still have this story, which is Jim Carrey's movie, Dumb and Dumber 2. They've pulled the plug on it, folks, is what they've done. They've passed on Dumb and Dumber, the sequel. Hot on the heels of the box office failure, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, a film that had a similar budget but grossed only $22 million domestically. Carrey received good reviews for his portrayal of Chris Angel-like street magician, but the film failed to connect with audiences. Writer-directors Peter and Bobby Farley will have to look elsewhere in continuing the misadventures of Harry Dunn and Lloyd Christmas. You know what? Playing a street magician, why don't they have Jim Carrey? They should have had Jim Carrey just playing like... a motivational guy, just like this guy that killed everybody in the tent, you know?
Oh, that's a riot.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, I don't mean to kill... Look, it's ripe for satire. Jim Carrey playing a guy like that, you know, playing a guy who is a motivational nut, and he has a tent, and, you know, all kinds of weird-ass stuff.
Boom, yeah, about a tent.
All the people that suffocated in that tent.
Yeah, it was like that...
That thing in Arizona?
Yeah, the thing in Arizona when they all went into that, it was like a sweat lodge. That's what they should have him do. Don't do something people can barely understand. How many people live around street magicians? But everybody knows the news about this guy that that had people in the sweat lodge. That's what I would do. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhenryshow.com. Visit us online, get a backstage pass. You must have a backstage pass. No alternative. No alternative.
Must land at Beirut.
Our bitch.
No alternative.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that's where you got that, Phil.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got no alternative. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Just to conclude the thing on I don't want to beat it into the ground, but they've passed, and so they have to find somebody else to make the movie. It's a $30 million movie. Hey, you know what? I think the guy's really talented, and I think he's going to be back. But like I was saying, you know, I kind of recognize the whole series of moves. You want to do something different, and you think that the audience is probably on the verge of getting burned out on what you do, and you're wrong. They're really not. You just need to find a new, you need to find a kind of a refreshing outlook on it, not necessarily abandon it. And he kind of did. Well, there you go. Speaking of movies, though, I saw the Tom Cruise movie Oblivion. Okay.
Yes, you saw that down in Florida.
I saw it down in Florida. I saw it in Tampa, and it was not a good movie. I mean, it just was not a good movie. And I like Tom Cruise a lot, man. I think the cat is intense. I think he's a great actor. I think he's entertaining as hell. I think he brings a lot of reality to every, and he's into action movies now. That's great. Does them well. I'm one of those guys. I'll probably give him the benefit of the doubt, you know, when it comes to a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, you like War of the Worlds. I thought that sucked on wheels.
You thought it sucked on... How did War of the Worlds suck on wheels?
But not believable, man.
Not believable?
No. You know, talk about a Mars man. Mars man gonna come down.
Well, of course it's not believable. It's a Martian, you know.
Yeah, but then they try to make it look like it was 9/11, and they're all like, oh, have you seen this... They try to make like 9/11 if a Martian hit, you know.
Well, that is the experience of the film. I mean, we all learn. We all suddenly realize, oh, wow, that's how human beings behave when it comes to these terrible cataclysmic events.
Yes, but don't you think, as bad as 9/11 was, don't you think the landing of Martian craft, all right, not Venusian, although Venusian, well, we'll table that. But don't you think...
What's table that mean?
I don't want to talk about it right now. Don't you think...
Will you table it?
Will you shut up, bud?
Shut up. Don't you think... Forget it.
No. Come on, Margaret.
Well, when he...
Go ahead.
Don't you think that when a Martian lands, if and when, it's going to be decidedly different from 9/11?
I have no idea. What do you mean when they land?
Well, if they landed and destroyed everything... the way they did in War of the Worlds.
It would be a frightening, horrifying... It would be far worse than 9/11. Far worse. I mean, we would be paranoid. We'd be angry, and we wouldn't know how to combat it. At least when it came to the terrorists, we knew exactly what we had to do. But with Martians landing in craft that are taller than the buildings we've built, forget it. There would be panic in the streets. So getting back to this Tom Cruise movie, Oblivion, it sucked so bad, man, that I got up and, you know, but I'll tell you, three quarters throughout the entire movie, this is the thing I want to mention. Throughout the entire movie, until about three quarters of the way through this flick, is a kid sitting behind me, and the kid's no more than 8 or 9 years old, bam, 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 talk, 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 talk.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
But tell him to shut up.
Well, hold on. I did. And I didn't say anything. And the reason why I didn't say anything is it was that intermittent kind of, and you're thinking maybe he'll shut up. Maybe he's just talking. Maybe he'll shut up. Nope. Just bap, 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 bap. Talk, 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 talk. Sitting with him was this elderly gentleman, I'm figuring, for a grandfather. I mean, I'm telling you, I waited for three quarters of the way for that movie. I finally turned around. I said to this kid, would you please not talk? I said, he's a little kid, so I didn't want to be... I said, you can't talk during the movie. Now, I had to do this. He's sitting there with a grandfather or something.
Well, how do you know it was a grandfather?
Yeah, I know it was a guy that just picked him up on a street.
I don't know. Where do you get that from?
Well, I mean, you know.
It might have been more responsible of you, Phil, to start talking to that elderly man and saying, "What are you? Who do you think you are? A chicken hawk or something?"
Oh, sure. What? As it was, the guy looked at me like I was the rudest guy in the world. I said, I'm talking to this child the way that this guy should have been talking to him. I said, you got him. Chicken hawk? Where are you getting that from?
You don't know.
Yeah, he wasted all his time talking to the kid. That guy might have been a perv.
Oh, get out of here, will you? All I wanted was the kid to shut up while I'm watching a movie. And I hear this kid blah, 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 blah. And I finally said, would you please be quiet? Now the movie ends. I get up, I'm walking out, and there's the old man looking at me like I'm the scum of the earth. Like, how dare I talk to his kid? And I'm thinking, I'm asking myself this question. I'm asking, how many years, how many times, we've been socialized enough to know, shut up in a movie theater. Anybody that talks in a movie theater is doing it, any adult that talks in a movie theater is doing it on purpose, is asking for a punch in the mouth, as far as I'm concerned, or they're mentally retarded. There's no middle ground. No middle ground.
That is very, very cruel, Phil.
I don't get... Are you kidding me or something? Are you crazy? I mean, for years and years and years and years, since movies began, since we've had movie houses, since we've had the moving picture, we've been telling people to shut up in the movie house, haven't we? Haven't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Year after year after year, every damn movie you go see, they got a thing that says, please be quiet, be courteous. And here's this kid talking.
Got a guy on the phone that said that he disagrees with you.
I will hold him over, okay? Because we got to take a break here.
Got to hold you over.
So you know what I'm saying, Margaret?
I got to hold you over on the.
Well, hold on, Bud. I'm on the air right now.
Yeah, he's on the air. Hold on.
So what I'm saying is this: if you're in a movie theater,
what? Yeah, they. I'm sorry.
If you're in a movie theater, you cannot, it's impossible for you not to know that you're supposed to be quiet.
Yeah, he's talking right now.
Give me the phone. Hello, sir? Hi, I'll be with you in a minute, okay? Yeah, hold on. There, that's what you do. Ow, I slammed the phone down on my finger.
Yeah, what an idiot.
Shut up. So it's okay, there's the break.
Yeah, you know, Phil, you gotta quit being distracted, because I don't know what you're talking about. There's about 15 different false starts there.
Okay, fine. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I want to go on the air with this guy, Henry, because I think he is a liar. Are we on the air?
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I was looking here during the break at an interesting article, series of public service announcements that had been discovered here by the MSN network, the Microsoft network, and we've got it on Phil TV here. At least we have it in the small versions of these ads. And what they were public service ads from the 1940s that, quote, warn about the real enemy. Now, what do you suppose that is?
About the Nazis.
No, the real enemy.
Venereal disease.
Yes.
And it says here, these PSAs from the 1940s warn about the real enemy, venereal disease. Here's one here.
Let me see what that says. She may look clean, but God, man, you're saying she's all dirty and everything.
Yeah. They're talking to the service guys. They're talking to the military guys, and they're basically telling them, you know, that you got to watch out. What you're doing here. This girl says she may look clean, but, you know, she spreads syphilis and gonorrhea. God.
Well, she looks like a perfectly lovely girl. How dare they do? Why wouldn't they show a woman that is obviously trashy?
Because if some of these guys think that because a girl looks really cute, she doesn't have venereal disease.
Well, I understand that, but why not show... And you're going to think I'm racist?
Oh, don't say it, Margaret.
No, I didn't say black. I didn't say black.
What do you all say, Hispanic?
Yes.
How about showing a white girl? What's wrong with that?
Because no one would believe it.
Well, what? What is that supposed to mean? The fact is, this is aimed for an audience that is, this is aimed for people that are not alive any longer. If they are, they're very old. This is aimed for the young servicemen of the 1940s about getting venereal disease. And you got to watch out because she may look clean. And see, this girl that they got a picture of here looks like a nice girl next door. Here's one here. The great crippler. Good God. Syphilis. Here's one here. Don't wait. 70% are doomed. Meaning if you get venereal disease. Because back then, they didn't have antibiotics, you know.
Well, not till later.
Not till later.
What's the antibiotic?
That's what kills the germ, the bacteria. It's what kills the syphilis virus, or no, the syphilis germ, bacteria, whatever, the biotic. And before that, they did not have antibiotics, so people got something that was called psychosyphilis, something like that.
Yeah, that's that lady who said they're going to go nuts.
You go nuts if you have that. Isn't that what Frank has?
No, Frank doesn't have that. Frank has a form of dementia because of, yes, a very slight untreated case, but he has good days and bad.
Well, the only thing that's noticeable about Frank is he has gender confusion.
Yes, and there are some days when he just doesn't get anything right, and there's other days where he slips into the right gender. It all depends.
What does it depend on?
It depends on whether Jason J. Delmonico and I are around. If we're not home... And he's allowed to lay around and be slovenly and, you know.
Perform, like.
I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
What are you talking about? Like, he's playing with himself?
All right, take it easy, will you?
Yes. Then he can recover for about a week. But only if he's allowed to lay around with his robe open and food on the floor.
Why is that?
I don't know.
So if he's got to be living with you... Then he's going to be calling you a he for the day, for forever.
Yeah, that's what sounds like to me.
What do you mean if he's got to be living with me?
Well, that's what you're saying. If you and Jason J. Delmonico are home.
Well, he made it sound like if he's with me, he can't help but call me a he.
Well.
Well, watch how you say that.
All right, he doesn't mean anything by it, Margaret. It's just the interpretation that he has no choice but to put on it. Here's another one. Stamp out syphilis and gonorrhea. Have you had your blood test and examinations? Go to your doctor or Department of Health. Good Lord. Men who know say no to prostitutes. Here we are. This gets right down to it because this is what they're talking about. It says here that during the 1940s, who were the U.S. soldiers' biggest enemies? Germany, Italy, and Japan, you may guess. Well, not according to these sexual health posters from the time, which highlight the dangers posed by sex. According to posters, harlots and hookers might booby trap unsuspecting servicemen with syphilis and gonorrhea, leaving them unable to fight for their real enemies in the war, or fight against their real enemies in war. Sometimes men were urged to resist temptation, or at least use a, quote, rubber, end quote, but more often, the message was clear. Avoid unsafe sex and the venereal diseases it might lead to, or at least get yourself to a doctor right away for a cure. Check out these 1940s posters and see what you think of this lesser-known World War II PSA. It's very interesting. So this says, men who know say no to prostitutes.
They're very modern-looking posters, aren't they?
Well, there was a certain look they had in those days. They used a lot of silhouetting. Syphilis, 51%. What does this say? 51% out of 10 cured because...
What?
I don't know. 51 out of 10 cured because they did not wait too long. Okay. 51% out of 10. That's a weird way of saying it.
What's that? It's like five guys and a tenth of a guy.
Yeah. Is that because of a war injury and stuff?
What is?
What are you talking about?
If they say five and one-tenth of a guy, is that because of the war injuries?
Are you trying to tell me that one-tenth of a guy got cured?
Well, if they come back and there's
only one-tenth of a guy?
No, you jackasses.
Why do you always call me a jackass?
Because the question's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. did one-tenth of a guy come back.
Well, a lot of bad, bad injuries then.
No kidding. I think if there's only one-tenth of a guy, you could pretty much safely say that guy's dead.
Well, but they still got to count him in a statistic.
No, they don't count him in a statistic, you moron, because he's dead. Dead, 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 Red. He's dead.
Yeah, 22 years.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that one. Here's one. The enemy is syphilis. Then something about enlist in the campaign against it. And it shows some guy in one of those tin pot hats with a gas mask on. The enemy is syphilis. Venereal disease covers the earth. Learn to protect yourself now. And it shows some girl. This is the 1940s version of a harlot. She's wearing all red. She's got a red beret on. She's a brunette, not a blonde, you'll notice.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. She's a brunette.
That means she's Mexican?
No, not necessarily. I just think that the whole thing about brunettes, you know, brunettes are like sluts and harlots, and blondes are all American girls, you know.
And yet blondes in real life are the sluts and harlots.
No, that's not true either.
I'd say that blondes are more like a slut than a brunette.
That's because you're black and you don't have no blonde.
Yeah, we do if she dyes her hair, you dumbass.
All right, take it easy, will you? I think that the thing Margaret's right, and I think the observation is a legitimate one. The brunettes are always the ones that are in the 40s. Nowadays, I don't know. Nowadays, they don't have ads like these. Nowadays, they simply say to these guys, you know, you better use protection or you're going to get, you know, sick. You're going to get a disease. We don't have to. It's something that we've dealt with out in the open for long enough where we don't have to do this kind of ridiculous. I shouldn't call it ridiculous. For today, this would be asinine. If we had posters up in the barracks and in the military installations of America with these kinds of posters, venereal disease covers the earth, I think that we would be in big trouble. I think we'd have a bunch of morons out there, man. But I think that today, most everybody understands sexually transmitted diseases are everywhere, and I don't care how beautiful she is or how, you know, handsome he is.
What are you talking about that for?
Because there's females in the military. All right, so moving on here to the next one. A sailor doesn't have to prove he's a man. There's no medicine for regret. Oh, get a load of that, will you?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
That's a good old-fashioned 1940s a poster about sailors and how they may be gay.
What are you talking about?
Well, then why would they say that? A sailor doesn't have to prove he's a man. There's no medicine for regret. And it shows these two sailors.
Well, it looks like they're about to engage in sex.
No, they're not. One of them's a shore patrol guy keeping a guy back on the ship. See the gun?
How do you know? It looks like he's about to kiss him.
No, he's not.
Well, you said it's about gay.
Obviously, the copies, yes, a sailor doesn't have to prove he's a man. There's no medicine for regret. Boy, that's pretty... God, if you were in the Navy back then, that'd be an insult, wouldn't it?
Well, obviously.
But you couldn't say anything, could you? You couldn't go to somebody and say, hey, what's with these posters? I mean, they tell you to, shut up. Look at this. Here's another harlot.
Yeah, she looks like some kind of slut.
Juke joint sniper is what they call her. Shorty's place. Check that out. So, in other words, she's like a guy in the weeds that'll kill you, except...
It's a chick.
Right.
Well, has she got a gun?
No. They're saying that if you have sex with her, you might as well be out there and there's a sniper and he's going to blow your head off. See, so these are all venereal disease... Carry on. Oh, this is carry on the Army's fight against venereal disease. So on and on and on. So they discovered a bunch of these. Check it out. It's on the Microsoft network. And here's one here. 98% of all procurable women have venereal disease. Are you ready for that?
Well, how do they know that?
I don't know, but that's what they're saying. 98% of all procurable women have venereal disease. Why bet against these odds? And that's another one to keep the guys from getting venereal disease. All right, we'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We got Frank Gray on the line who has practical experience with this. We'll talk to him about it when we come back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
No, we're not going to make it look like.
Phil Hendry Show.
right, Frank Gray, and I understand you're having a function tonight, Margaret. You're going to be going home to it, and this is for a piano player, right?
Well, yes, Phil, this is for Wayne Gurdon, who is a friend of ours, and Frank is holding down the fort there at home. Frank, how are you, dear?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Frank, we wanted to talk to you about your experiences. Well, were you in the service?
Yeah, I was in the Army.
And at the Korea?
Yeah, I was Korea.
And what did you, were you in Korea?
I was a radio operator.
Okay, and Frank, where did you contract gonorrhea?
Oh, I didn't get that till later on when I was in Hollywood, and I'd already made a lot of money, and I was already, can you people shut that door, because you're driving me nuts. You really are, Jerry. You should have more. I'm on the radio right now on the Phil Haney Show, so I want all of you people to be quiet. I want everyone to shut up and just... All right, I apologize, Phil.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, Phil Hendry. Okay, I'm on the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, he's on the radio. I apologize. Margaret, can you hear me?
We can hear you fine, Frank.
So I got gonorrhea when I was already, I'd made my first million as an attorney and as a producer, and a lot of people asked me that. They said, you got the demented gonorrhea, and I said, you better believe it. And they said, how was the, you know, which comfort girl got you, kind of ha-ha. And I said, no, it wasn't that at all. I was clean as a baby's rear crack.
A baby's what?
The crack up.
A baby's rear end.
Yeah, a baby's rear end. I was as clean as that. Well, it depends on the baby, I guess. It's a silly argument to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably depends on a baby.
Yeah, what's that? Is that Dickman?
Yes, it is. Take it easy.
No, Bud, that's fine. You're right. But I wouldn't push it too much because you don't get too many right, Bud. So, but yes, you're right. It depends on the baby. It depends on the mother of the baby, if you want to get right down to it.
Okay, can we move past that now? And
yeah, I apologize. So the baby, not the baby, but I got gonorrhea from some actress.
Do you know who?
Well, I do, but you're never ever going to get his name out of me. There's no way.
So was it a guy?
I said actress, you idiot.
It's an act, Bud. The gender confusion.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I got this from him, and I think he turned around and infected. I mean, he was a beautiful young lady. You've got to understand. When you're producing television, or and at that time I was involved in producing television. This is the early to mid-60s, you understand, Phil?
Right.
And I was doing a number of projects, and I met a number of gorgeous young ladies, young actresses. I myself was in my, I was in my prime. But I met him. He came in for a casting call, and he was absolutely gorgeous, this young lady. And he read for a couple of parts. And I was in between girlfriends at the time, and I asked him, I said, would you like to have dinner with me? And he said, yes. Excuse me, I've got a...
Do you have to drag this? I hate hearing this story, Frank.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to. I mean, I love Margaret. He's the best. But the young actress that I dated and, yes, had repeated sexual adventures with, he was fantastic, too. But not better than him. Okay?
Yeah, meaning Margaret.
Yes, meaning Margaret. Margaret, you know I love you, and I've forgotten all about him.
Thank you.
Now...
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm crying. I found myself tearing up. I can't believe it. I thinking about him. Anyway,
who's he?
Who's who?
Bud.
Oh. That Dickman. Boy, you got to get that guy in for a diagnostic. I mean, she's losing it. She's coming unglued. So, then I went to the doctor and she said to me, "Yeah, you're good. You're as good as God made green apples. You're good to go." And I said, you don't even know why I'm here. And she said, oh, you're right. And I said, when I go to the bathroom, it brings me to my knees. The pain is so intense. It burns like napalm and brings me to my knees. And she says, so you're kneeling in front of the toilet? And I said, yes. And I said, last night I was over here at Kilgallen's, which was a bar and restaurant we had on Sunset back in the days, Phil. And I went in, and they had the old-fashioned latrine where there was a trough, you know, Phil?
Yeah.
And so I went in there and to tap a kidney, as we used to say, and it brought me to my knees. The pain was so intense, but thank God I was in front of a urinal. But in comes Fred Bartholomew, and she, as you know, at that time was managing Billy Barty. So she comes in to take a leak, and she's walking by a line of guys that are all regular size until she comes to me. Well, I'm on my knees because the pain has brought me...
To your knees?
Yes, and I'm urinating. And she says absentmindedly, Billy, you know, I'm keeping a seat warm for you. And she continues walk, and I said, you must be some kind of douchebag if you think I'm Billy Barty. And she looks at me and she goes, oh, for God's sake, Frank, it's you. Why are you on your knees? It was Daryl Zanuck here. And ha, ha, ha. And everybody laughed about that. And
all right, Frank, you've told enough of the story. You're going on and on and on and on.
I apologize.
Okay, so in other words, okay, so this was you contracted this in Hollywood in the 60s. The story about you being at a urinal, he thought you were Billy Barty.
Yeah, because I was kneeling, and she thought I was her client.
This was the guy that managed Billy Barty.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So,
Now what I want to ask you is, you have you been to the doctor? Obviously, yes, you have.
Yeah, I go in for treatment still, and had I taken care of it when I should have taken care of it, why, it'd be as clean, I'd be as clean as the crack,
Phil, you, I'm sorry, hold on, Frank. Phil, we're coming to a break. Frank is making an ass of himself.
Will you let me do this, please?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to your wife. Okay, so you are now, you've been to the doctor.
Yeah, I've been to the doctor, and I take soda treatment 3 times a week.
What's that?
I don't know. It's just, it's something. What is it, Margaret?
It's a round of antibiotics.
Yeah, and had I taken care of it at the time, why, I'd be just as beautiful can be, but I didn't. I had sex with this actress. He gave it to me. And then I turn around, and I had sex with another actress, and I gave it to him. Me, the big Papa Bear in the middle.
You know, Frank, you don't have to be so crude.
All right, I'm trying to tell everybody how he gave it to me. You remember him, right? Candy, not Candy, it was Clarice, no, not Clarice, it was Clara. Clara Burton Fern.
Yes, Clara Burton Fern was from Germany. She was an ingenue that Frank was grooming for a number of projects. And as soon as he went to the doctor and found out what was wrong with him, he packed her back to Germany, and that's the last. And you not only sent her back to Germany, Frank, you sent her to East Germany at the time, didn't you?
That's where I thought that he was from.
No, she was not from East Germany. She was from... Frank sent her back to a communist state, to imprisonment.
Oh, get out of here, will you? What difference does it make? You know, I can tell you, he came over here, gave me gonorrhea, and then I sent him home. And you know what? I think it serves him right to be sent back to East Germany, and he can sit and, you know, count the dumbbells there in a gymnasium or something. It doesn't matter. I don't know what happened to him. But, boy, was he beautiful.
All right, well, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Seems to be your problem.
I don't have a problem, Frank. What you're talking about, East Germany was a communist state.
Well, it served him right.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, this is a hell of a thing. I mean, that's a very wonderful gesture on the part of the Arizona Diamondbacks. A young man by the name of Corey Hahn, a 21-year-old outfielder who became paralyzed sliding into second base in a college game. He was drafted in the 34th round anyway by the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they drafted him because of his injury. They want to give him an opportunity to work in the organization. In 2010, Han passed up a chance to sign with the San Diego Padres out of high school. Instead, he decided to go to college, generally considered a smart move for an aspiring young baseball player. But rather than going on to a successful collegiate career and a higher draft pick, Han saw his dreams halted in the most tragic of ways. In just his third game for Arizona State, Han slid into second base, cracking his head against the infielder's knee and shattering a vertebrae in his neck. He was paralyzed from the chest down, his career over before it began. Good Lord. Now he has endured vigorous rehabilitation and coaches his former teammates at ASU from his customized wheelchair. And once he graduates, Han will join the Diamondbacks. And here is the tweet from the Arizona Diamondbacks. We proudly select outfielder Corey Han of ASU Baseball in the 34th round of the first-year playoff, of the first-year player draft. Welcome to the D-backs family. Now, we could be any more excited, Diamondbacks scouting director Ray Montgomery said. Talking to Corey, he was thrilled and, as usual, humbled and actually thanked us, which kind of surprised me at the... all the credit goes to him and his family for what they've endured. We couldn't be more happy about bringing him on board. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty damn cool. Corey Han tweeted back, I cannot thank the D-backs enough for what they have done. So humbled and will be forever grateful. So honored to be a Diamondback. Team President and CEO Derek Hall, who visited with Han in the hospital after his injury, said he doesn't want Han's selection to just be a gesture. We want to make this permanent, he said. We don't want to make it just about the selection and about him being a draft pick, but about working here full-time as a full-time employee with the Diamondbacks. Hopefully, we'll make that come to fruition for him and his family here soon. Boy, that's fantastic. But, I mean, geez, what a rotten break. I shouldn't say a rotten break. I mean, what do you do? You know, this is the whole thing about the cards that life deals you, you know.
Yeah, you're all complaining about everything.
What do you mean I'm all complaining about everything?
We're all talking about, oh, man, you know, and I got 3 hours I got to do.
Yeah, Phil, that is true. You know, you should be very grateful of the things that you have.
I am grateful. If I don't sound grateful, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Well, don't be all pussed out about it either. I mean, be angry.
What do you mean, be angry?
In other words, I mean, you do have a right to complain. But also, there's people who are in wheelchair.
Yes, so if you have it tough, which you have had it tough, there's no question, but also ease back on it when we bring up someone that's in a wheelchair.
Okay, is this another one of these tests or something?
No, we're just talking. You're sitting there all about, oh, this poor guy, and I was just sitting here thinking, I'm going, you know, I was just sitting here saying that Phil's all talking about this guy, and he's sitting over there saying... about the guy, and he's sitting there complaining about his life. I'm sitting here saying...
All right, enough with the sitting here and me sitting there, okay? So you're saying that I complain too much for a guy that's not in a wheelchair.
Exactly. You're not in a wheelchair, but you also have a right to complain because you are very talented, and you should be treated better, I think. But don't go so far as to think you're all this and a bag of what, bud?
Pork rind.
Pork rind.
I don't think I'm all this and a bag of pork rind. I don't think about, especially if I read a story like this, I don't think about it at all. I think that, yeah, you're right. This kid is, I'm humbled. And who is it?
Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David. God, is everybody checking in?
Well, they've got a point. We don't want you to become a complete P-U-S-S, and I don't want to say the rest of the word because people will think it's bad, but you know the extra letter. And
yeah, probably why, right, Mr. Hall?
Would you shut up, bud?
Be quiet, man.
So we don't want you to turn into a real sissy boy, because you do have a right to your opinion, and you have been kicked around like an animal. However, I don't think you're in a wheelchair. Last time I checked, you're not. Right, Margaret?
Nope, don't see any wheelchair underneath him.
Okay.
Well, what is this all of a sudden?
It's nothing. It's nothing. So what we want you to do is give some very strong opinions. There's no question about that. But always remember, okay, always remember that it could be worse and you could be, you know, could have something befall you the way that this poor guy did, this poor young man, Mr. Han. So it's a tough one. And so what we've done is, Bud has rigged up an alarm.
What is it with these alarms, David? Can't you guys trust me to say the right thing?
No, we got the alarm. What is it, bud?
It sounded like a car that's going to go into a brick wall, and that's probably what would happen to a guy on account of being a chair.
Yeah, so this is a car going into a brick wall, just like a guy would if he's going to be in a chair. That's going to be the...
Boy, that's the most tasteless thing I've ever heard.
Phil, what we're trying to do is remind you of your duty to yourself and your listeners, but don't get so high on the hog and think you're all this and that it doesn't smell that which comes out of your blank blank.
Exactly.
Exactly? That, did she say anything?
Yes, I did. You want me to say it again?
No, I don't. Thank you.
So what we're saying is just go ahead and give an opinion. Just go ahead and do the show as if I'm not sitting here on the phone with my TV on bothering the hell out of you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm distracted beyond belief.
All right, turn it down, baby. Hey, baby, turn it down. So go ahead.
Well, what do you,
what do you mean, what do I want you to talk about? That's up to you.
All right. I have a very strong opinion about this NSA situation. I think it is beyond...
Bang.
Crash.
Yeah, that's a crash.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did I do there? I was giving too strong an opinion?
Yeah, watch it with the NSA. Everybody thinks Obama is a war criminal. Let's just go with the flow on that one, okay? Even though he probably isn't. As a matter of fact, he probably hasn't done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I happen to know he hasn't done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, your support of him is absolutely correct, but I don't want you to go too heavy with this, so go ahead.
Well, President Obama, you know, he may have done some things wrong.
So you're pushing out again.
Yeah, you're pushing out.
Now you got to be stronger than that.
Get out of here.
Boy, you just hang up on him willy-nilly, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this jive, okay? I'm going to give my opinions, and I am feeling very, very sorry for that young man. But by the same token, you don't have to worry because I'm not going to... Now what?
Well, I mean, you know, you said you're very proud of him. That sounded pushed out. And then he said, but, you know, so it's kind of waffle.
Yeah, it's kind of like a waffle thing, you know?
Do you know what waffle means?
Yeah.
What? And don't tell me it's something for breakfast.
Well, then I don't know what it means.
Waffling is to go back and forth, back and forth. Meaning one minute you think of one thing, and the next minute you have a different opinion.
Yeah, so if you do that, you're going to get the brick wall.
Yeah. I mean, that you do that, man, and you got a helmet on, you got a bike helmet on for the rest of your life.
No doubt.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I believe that that's a great move by the Diamondbacks, and it's one it's a wonderfully charitable and encouraging thing to do for that kid, and I hope he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, you can't push that.
Will you knock it off with that, man, before I stick you in a real car and let it go into a real wall?
Do that to me?
Yes, I would. Okay, so anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. Do you have your backstage pass? You don't? Well, you need to go get one, because with a backstage pass, you are now intimately involved in the world of Phil Hendry, and that can only be a good thing, seriously. With a backstage pass, you have access to the largest repository of radio material, radio show in the history of the world. It happens to be one damn good show. With the backstage pass, you also have access to our video archives, our daily podcast, our classic podcast, as well as our Milwaukee Lion archive, as well as our webisodes, and so very much more. All kinds of audio and video miscellany. It's there at philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass for a month is only $9.99. For 6 months, it is whatever it is. How much is it, bud?
I've got it on a website. Pretty cheap, though.
I can tell you this. Our prices are competitive, and we have... so much more, it's sickening. I mean, we've got so much more on our website than any other radio website out there. And I think our prices are very, very competitive. So I could go over to the site, and I don't want to do it right now. But check it out, the backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. You can get a 1 month, you can get a 6 month, or you can get a 1 year. And while you're there, go to our online store and pick up, you know, we've always got these bits of merchandise that are, I think, kind of, you know, cutting edge. Like, remember when we had the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt?
That made L.A. Magazine.
It did. Well, now we have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, and we've had that thing out before people knew what a hoodie was. It's just a really good piece of, it's a nice sweater to have for the summertime. So pick up your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's got a hood, and it's warm, and it's comfy, and it's got Ted's logo, and it's got, we want to put our meat in your mouth on the back so that if anybody gets really angry at that, you don't have to look at their face because they only see it as you're walking away, and so on and so forth. We also have our CDs. We've got keychains. We've got baseball caps. We've got T-shirts. All kinds of stuff there at the Phil Hendry Shop at philhendryshow.com. All right, we're going to come back here with the final segment of the show in a minute. Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com. Take care. Peace out.
Truth,
El Pacifico.
Is our
we
bitch.
Love you.
The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
After our show tonight, go to our website. Well, you're at our website. If you're watching us on Phil TV, you're already at our website. Check out our homepage. We always have a show log, which gives a very, very rough idea as to what it was that we had on the show. All right, so we already did the, oh, here, Patrick Ewing. I don't know if anybody's interested in the basketball news. I think the Spurs beat the Heat tonight to take the third game of their series. Patrick Ewing is going to go to work as an assistant to Michael Jordan at the Bobcats, man.
What's that?
The Charlotte Bobcats.
What's that? Oh, so that's the NBA?
Yes, that's the NBA.
I thought it called the Charlotte Hornets.
It was the Charlotte Hornets. It's now the Charlotte Bobcats. The Charlotte Hornets are down in New Orleans. They're the New Orleans Hornets.
New Orleans has basketball teams that make no sense at all. The Jazz did make sense, but they're in Utah.
Well, whatever. I don't want to get into a discussion about these ridiculous names. But the point is, the two 90s stars...
Wait, don't blow me off like that. I'm your co-host.
Excuse me, Margaret. I didn't mean...
Thank you. Go ahead.
Great point, Margaret.
Now you blew it. See, you blew it. You were doing fine and you blew it. Now you're going to have to back up and do it better.
What is it with you all of a sudden?
I'm just asking you to do... If I make a point that's stupid...
All right. Hey, Margaret, that was a great point about the Bobcats and the Hornets. You're right. New Orleans ought to get some basketball teams. They got better names for them, but they don't, and they suck.
That's fine.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for a good point.
You're welcome.
What are you talking about? The Jazz are in New Orleans.
No, they're not. They're in Utah.
Well, then it isn't the New Orleans team, is it?
No.
Then what do you mean they've got a bad name?
The Hornets, okay?
The Hornets what?
The Hornets are the team that's in New Orleans now. That's a stupid name.
Well, it's not that stupid. It's not as stupid as the Utah Jazz.
I don't want to talk about this right now. I don't want to talk about stupid nicknames of teams, if you don't mind. God.
Why not?
Because I just don't. That's why not. Now, where was I? Yes.
Talk about the New Orleans Jazz.
The New Orleans Jazz today traded Patrick Ewing. Not the New Orleans Jazz. I'm talking. Patrick Ewing was rendered all but helpless while watching Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls march to the New York Knicks on the way to the NBA Finals glory. Anyway, the two stars of the 90s, fellow Space Jam actors, will reunite in an effort to find success together with the Charlotte Bobcats. Jordan as the owner, Ewing as an assistant coach. Wow.
Boy, I guess we know who the big boy in the block is there, huh?
Well, I don't think that necessarily indicates that Ewing's broke. According to Yahoo Sports, Ewing has agreed to become Charlotte's assistant head coach, working alongside new head coach Steve Clifford. The report has since been confirmed by multiple outlets. A formal announcement is expected later this week. Clifford and Ewing have strong ties. The two worked together on Stan Van Gundy's staff in Orlandi before Clifford accompanied former Magic center Dwight Howard to Los Angeles last season. Clifford and Ewing also worked together on Jeff Van Gundy's Houston staff for years. Boy, that Orlando team, there's a good team, a little tiny market that's doing well.
Well, didn't you say, though, that Orlando was always a good basketball market?
Yeah, Orlando, as long ago, I've told the story millions of times, but they've always been a good basket. Yes, I've always seen them as a good basketball market. But when you look at all these towns, like Sacramento, they had a problem, and this guy and that guy and all this other, man, you don't hear about the Magic threatening to move no place. People love them.
Yeah, they got a lot of people. They have the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That ain't basketball, man.
Oh.
You make a good point. Central Florida's basketball team is Orlando. So if it's the Tampa Bay market, probably travels to Orlando to see the Magic play. Same thing with Daytona Beach, all that stuff. When it comes to hockey, it's the other way. And football, it's the other way. And baseball, it's the other way.
So in other words, Orlando doesn't have really much to offer except for a basketball team and
Minnie Mouse.
Yes, Minnie Mouse. Or Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Orlando's got Mickey Mouse and the basketball team, and Tampa's got the Devil Rays, or not the Devil Rays, the Rays, the Buccaneers, and the Lightning.
And are they any good?
They all suck. The Rays are pretty good. When I was down there, somebody was telling me that the Buccaneers are reviled and hated down there. That just blows me away. You know, that was the first major league team that city ever had. And now they are acting down there like they can just get themselves a football team anytime they want one. Maybe you can. I mean, it could very well be. And maybe you could just blow off the Buccaneers and they leave town and they go someplace else, which is what's going to happen if they keep on the way they are. Tampa right now with the Buccaneers, there's no love lost. They aren't selling out games. The Buccaneers are, they're called all kinds of disparaging things. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just go ahead and split. As far as the other teams go, I don't know. I think the Lightning have got a good following, and so do the Rays. So they're into their hockey, and they're into their baseball, and the rest of it sucks. So what do you want from me, you know?
I don't know.
The less said about that, the better.
Yeah, you're thinking of buying a house down there.
Why did you have to say that, man?
Well, Phil...
I didn't want to talk about it on the show.
You've got it all over Facebook, for God's sake.
I'm thinking about buying a house down there. I'm not moving there. I'm not moving there at all. But I'm thinking about having a home there.
Well, get a load of Mr. Look at Moneybags over here.
It's not Moneybags. No, 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 no. Not Moneybags, no. What I'm thinking about doing is buying, because the real estate in Florida is way more affordable than it is in California. Way more affordable. So I was thinking of buying a home in the little town of Dunedin there, which is, I really like that town, because I happen to know a lady in Bradenton. Now, I don't know, man, if it's going to happen or not, to be honest with you, but I got to go down. I want to look at this house down there, and if it happens, it happens, you know.
You going to move down there or what?
No, I am not moving there. No, I'm not moving there, and again, no, I'm not moving there. I'm staying in California. But it would be like a place to,
So you're just going to jet down there.
Margaret, why don't you give it a rest, okay? Because it ain't all, you know, things can be rented out. It's not like I'm just throwing money away on a mortgage. But, and I wouldn't do it if there wasn't somebody important to me down there, okay? So I am, you know, that's what I'm thinking about doing. And I didn't bring it up. Big Mouth here did.
Well, I'm glad Bud did, so we can get it out in the open. Clear the air, and let's just put it on the table, whip it out, get out a tape measure, see...
Never mind.
See how big it is.
Yeah. In any event, that's the thinking, man. That's the plan, Stan. But, is it going to happen? I don't know. But the real estate down there is pretty cool. Now, the thing that I heard the other day is that real estate's coming back in California. I got a friend of mine that just sold her house. Her and her husband are moving to Chicago. And they just sold their house in San Francisco. They had a house in San Francisco that they sold for a pretty decent price. So maybe things have started to perk up here in California. I don't know. You know, and I would never give up my house here because it's a great house, man. It's like a block from the beach. Why the hell would I want to do that?
Thought you want to go on the beach?
Yeah, maybe. But the point is, I'm not going to sell my house. So forget it. It isn't going to happen. But... the home that I saw down in Florida was so gorgeous. It was unbelievable, man. It was like 3 acres. I couldn't believe it, you know? And the price, holy God. It's not 3 acres, but it's got all kinds of trees on it. And it's got...
Yeah, Phil, don't talk about how rich you are. The people that are listening to you, they don't have a pot to throw it out of.
Let's just not say that, okay? I'm giving everybody hope. Hope for the future. If Phil Henry can do it, you can do it. I said this to you many years ago. You didn't believe me, but here we are now at the other end of that terrible, terrible, long nightmare. And
called the Phil Henry Show.
Called the Phil Henry Show. Anyway, we'll be back. We'll see you guys tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for all that groovy stuff. you know, live streaming video, audio, and downloadable stuff as well. See you tonight at 10 on the East Coast 1. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.